In Parshat Vayetse, we have the birth of the majority of the Shvatim. When we take a look at the name of the first Shevet, we find the Chumash tells us, from Source 1a, Hashem saw that Leah was unloved, so he opened her womb, but Rachel remained barren. Continuing in Perek Kaftet, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuven, as she had declared, Ki Amra, because Hashem has discerned my humiliation. Ki ra'a Hashem bo'onyi, Hashem saw my humiliation, literally my affliction. For now my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bore a son and declared, because Hashem has heard that I am unloved, he has given me this one also. And she called his name Shimon. Again she conceived and bore a son and declared, this time my husband will become attached to me. For I bore him 3 sons, therefore he called his name Levi. She conceived again and bore a son and declared, this time let me gratefully praise Hashem, therefore she called him Yudah. Then she stopped giving birth. We look at the name of Reuven, the eldest son. The first question that we have, even before we look at any of the Mefarshim, is the obvious question, is how can we call somebody about your personal pain? After all, in 3a, the Drash Dovi notes, Mara Taleh Likro et Shmo Shel Benal Shem On Yavet Sponah. Can you imagine calling somebody based on your pain? V'likbo la'adech Hasronah b'shmo shel benah, and to mark in the name of your son that which is your default or defect in you, within you. Halo l'chora yala te'levna shem hamara ma'alao davar tov. Should she not have called her son on the name of something positive? And only the fourth son she thanks Hashem, and not on the first son? And after all, look, you know, people can walk around with the name of Reuven and have like this, oh, my name is Reuven. What does your name mean? Hashem saw my mother's affliction. Then now my husband will love her, right? Like, my father will love her. Like, what an embarrassing type of, l'chora, first glance, type of name. What does Reuven's name mean? And again, as we will talk about, a name is your essence, is your reality. So that's why we have to figure out here, what is Reuven's reality with this name? That's question one. Question two we need to understand is what Chazal, what Rashi brings down based on the Medrash. Rashi, citing the sages in Source 2, provides a second explanation for Reuven's name. Look, Re'u, Re'u Ben. Look at my son. Look at the difference between Ben, my son Reuven, and my father-in-law's son Esav, who sold the rights of the firstborn to Yaakov. Even though my son will not even have the opportunity to sell the rights of the firstborn to Yosef, not only will he refrain from opposing him, he will eventually rescue him from the pit. Leah foresaw through prophecy, the Ner Uziel continues, that one day Yaakov would divest Reuven of the rights of the firstborn. Right, that's when Reuven moved the beds of the tents in the honor of his mother, and confirmed set on Yosef. Unlike Esav, who sold the rights of the firstborn to Yaakov and then set out to kill him, Reuven would peacefully give up his position of power to Yosef and would even endeavor to rescue him from the pit into which his brothers would cast him. So what's another meaning of the name Reuven? Re'u Ben, look at my son. Look how different he is from his uncle, from Esav. Esav sold the birthright, and he's ready to kill for it. Reuven lost the birthright, and he is not only ready to kill for it, he's ready to save Yosef's life, who then became the firstborn. And the question which Ner Uziel asks, it's the question that many of the Mefarshim ask, is the following. Halo Mefarash Bakran, Source 4, B'tam L'Kriyat Shmo Reuven, Ki Amra K'ra Hashem B'Onyi, In Kein Lamalo Rabbi Yelazar, L'Vakesh Tam Acher, V'Lamalo B'Kesh Tam Acher, Gam L'Kriyat Shmo Shel Shimo. Why is it that by this name, Chazal say, let me tell you another reason for the name. You think his name is Reuven because Hashem saw her affliction? I'll tell you another name. Really, the name Reuven is because, look at between my son. And this is the only child that Chazal give another reason for. So the question is obviously, what is it about this name that Chazal understand that there must be a deeper meaning behind this name, that we have a second name for it? And if indeed there is another reason for this name, so then why did the Chumash write it down? Why did the Chumash say the name is Reuven Ki Ra'a Hashem B'Onyi, as well as she said Re'uma Ben Beni Uben Chami? See the difference between the two. So the answer that many of the Mefarshim quote is that of the Gra. The Gra notes, the Ilad Varma Schlesinger brings down in the bracket, that what was the impetus of Chazal, of Rashi, to bring this second reason is the way the structure of the psukim are. If we take a look back in 1a, and that's why I read through all the psukim, in all the other sons, she first gives the reason, and then based on the reason said, and therefore the name is. Hapam odet Hashem, now I will give thanks, and therefore the name is Yehuda. Hashem heard my cries, and therefore the name is Shimon, to hear. By Reuven, we don't find that. By Reuven, if you look carefully at the text, it says, and she called his name Reuven. His name was Reuven. Then it says, for she had declared, because Hashem had discerned my humiliation, etc. So we see by naming him Reuven, even before she has a reason, that there's a hidden reason that's given. There's a deeper reason that's given, that Chazal understood that there's something deeper going on in Leah Imenu's mind that for whatever reason she doesn't want to reveal. And this is the reason that's revealed, but there is another reason that is found here. And therefore, Gambalia Tamshikatva Tarah, the end of 4, Hayara Uili Krolo Bashemza. And therefore, Chazal fill us in on what this other reason is. So then the question that begs itself, obviously, is, well, if there is another reason, so then why doesn't the Chumash tell us this? Why is this reason concealed? What is the significance of this reason? So, to answer this question of why this name, this reason is concealed, and again, we'll do what we did a few weeks ago to mamish take a look at this Rashi, tzad, step by step. So first question we need to ask ourselves is, why is this reason hidden? Then we need to ask ourselves, well, what does the meaning of Reuven mean? Then we need to ask ourselves, why is it that Chazal give a different reason than the Chumash gives? And then we'll finally take a look at this reason of Ru'u, Ma ben Beni ben Chami, and understand a different reality of what Reuven is about. So let's take it side. The Yilat Vorin notes our question, if there is a second reason, so why doesn't she just say it? So he says in source 6, Shebemet atam amiti shenikra Reuven hu mishum ra'ab re'u re'ei ma ben beni leven chami. The real reason is that she wanted to say, look at the difference between my son and Esau. But this is a reason that's difficult to tell people, and therefore, she didn't want to, and we'll talk about why, let this reason be known. So the reason she gave everybody was, it's like a pretext reason. Oh, you know, people say, why did you name your kid, you know, Shmuel Yaakov? Well, I named it for Grandfather Shmuel and Grandfather Yaakov. People came over to Leah and said, Leah, why did you name your son Reuven? She said, Kira Hashem Be'oni, because Hashem saw my affliction. And then she says it's similar to what we find in a different Rashi in our Parsha. When Yaakov Avinu meets Rachel Imenu for the first time, it says that he kissed her, Vayef, Vayisak Halo, Vayef, he lifts up his voice and cried. Rashi brings down two interpretations. Why does he cry? Safa v'ruach HaKodesh, he foresaw in divine prophecy that he wasn't going to be buried with her. And the second reason is that he had no gifts to give her. So these reasons seem to be diametrically opposite reasons. Sayla Dvarim Kod Seidia, the Ber Yosef, Rav Yosef Salam brings down this idea, is that the real reason why he cried is because he wasn't going to be buried with her. Right? Whatever that may mean. He so foresaw the tragic way she was going to die, and how she was going to be on the side of the road her whole lifetime crying for Klal Yisrael, and he lifted up his voice to cry, to join with her cry that will be the cry of Jewish history. However, when he first meets this woman that he's going to marry, the last thing he wants to tell her is, oh, by the way, you know, we're not going to be buried together, and you're going to have, you're spending your eternity crying for your children, for the Jewish people. That's like pretty depressing to say to somebody on the first date. So therefore, when she says to him, Mister, like, why are you crying? I am crying because I have no gifts to give you. And my father's servant came with all these gifts and I come empty-handed. Well, that's something she can understand. But that's really the reason he gave her. That's not the real reason. Vayef, the real reason is because he wasn't going to be buried with her. So often in life we have two reasons. One is the reason we tell everybody. And the second reason is a more private reason. You know, a lot of people do that. They'll name a child Yehuda. Let's say they had a very difficult pregnancy. and the doctors, you know, were unsure of the health of the baby, or the birth itself was a very complicated birth. This isn't something you want to go publicizing and telling everybody, you know, A, B, and C. It's personal details. So when you name your child Yehuda and people say, why'd you name him Yehuda? You say, I want to give thanks to Hashem. The real reason is something personal happened that you want to give thanks, but you don't necessarily want to share that publicly. So now we're still back to the original question, well, why didn't you want to share this publicly? So I'll share two answers. There's the number given in the Mefarshim. The first of Megid Yosef gives, quoting the Maharsha, Shaleah, source 7, Lo ratza legalot shekara, Shmo shel Reuven mishum ra ben bini leben chami, Shum ein nevuah shatida rachel chata leled ben, Dim kein haya nefach lebala lahov gama rachel melea, L'kach elima davar zev, Ama shakar ra b'shmo Reuven kira Hashem bonyi. So, the Maharsha says very clearly, because if she would give this reason, look at the difference between my son and Esav, my son's going to lose the Bechorah and give it over to Rachel's firstborn, to Yosef. That is a prophecy that Rachel was going to have children. And therefore, she was going to then feel that she was going to lose the love of Yaakov Avinu. Right now, Rachel is barren. Right now, she has all the love. And who knows if Rachel is going to have children. So by moving the attention off of her onto Rachel's children, she's almost, you know, doing herself in. She doesn't want to do. So she doesn't want to bring in the fact that Rachel Imenu is going to have children in the future, because in her mind it would detract from the lack of love she's feeling now. The second reason that's given in the Leket Imrei Kodesh is of a different nature. And that is the whole idea of saving Yosef was saving him from Mechiras Yosef. So notes the Belzer Rebbe in Leket Imrei Kodesh is that the sale of Yosef was something that was hidden from Yaakov Avinu, right? There was a cherem, there was a ban, that Yaakov Avinu would never know about it. So if she gives this reason, hey, my son is going to sell Yosef, save Yosef later when the brothers want to sell him, whoa! She's giving way too much information. And because this information needs to be kept quiet, like all Nevuah, all prophecy like this, so therefore she just gave this reason and didn't say the real reason, because again, it was going to have to share TMI, too much information. Further notes Rav Munk in the Call of Torah, when the Pasuk says, see, Re'u, the difference, the idea of Re'u in the asterisk, the 9, hints at a deeper meaning, since the singular former A would have been sufficient. Also, syllable Ben seems superfluous in the light of the reason for the name as given in Torah. It would have been more appropriate name for Leah's son would have been Re'e on Yi. So obviously there's something deeper going on here that Chazal understand that there is this other reason that is hidden. Okay, having understood this, we now have to appreciate, okay, so his name is Reuven, and the reason that, you know, when people ask her, Leah, why did you name your son Reuven? She says, Hashem will now see, Ra Hashem, Hashem has now seen my onyi, my affliction, my challenges, my difficulties, and now my husband's going to love me. So now the question we have to ask ourselves is this a name that is going to be embedded in history? You know, I mean, Reuvens have been called since then, and it's a name that seems to be a very negative name. Why would she name her child based on her affliction and her pain? And this is the question that Rosh David Rav David Hofstadter asks. And he says, the Nira B'tama Dover, in source number 10, Shekeshem She'adam Mekabel Maharav B'toladah Tivo, just like a child receives from his parents his nature, v'tchunat gufo, both the characteristics, the physical nature of a child, brown hair, blue eyes, red hair, whatever it is, tall, short, skinny, fat, all of these aspects, as well as musical or artistic, all of these. Kach megabel hu mehem et haregesh v'kavanat halev. This is such an important idea. We've highlighted it before. I can't emphasize it enough. You also get from the parents not only the meaning of the name, Reuven, but the regesh and the kavanat halev, the meaning of the name when the parents name the children. Umachshavatam the kavanatam, what the parents thought, irrespective of what the name means in of itself, in its absolute sense. But the mindset of the parent, Notnim et ha-tochen l'shem shebo nikra nimsa, gives the meaning of the name. She'inaguto shel adam mushpat mishvo, our behavior is very much influenced by our name. U'memachshevet ha-lev she'nevatal l'netinat ha-shem, and the thought process that came along with the giving of the name. You know, it comes to my mind, it's a little bit irrelevant, but then I'll tell you where my mind is working. When my sister-in-law was in Tehran 5 and a half years ago, so I remember the day before she died, I said to her, Beth, why didn't you write a message? At the time, the kids were 4 to 11, for their bar mitzvah, for their bat mitzvah, so that they have something from you. We knew it was she wasn't going to, you know, last 2 years, forget about, you know, 8, 9 years. And she didn't say anything. And a few hours later, after she said her goodbyes to my brother and her parents and her sister, she called in every group one by one. She then called me in. And I thought this was very strange, you know, I'm the least connected. And she said to me, okay, Shira, I'm ready. And I looked at her and she says, I'm ready to write my thoughts to each one. And I'll tell you, I mamish grabbed, I didn't even have a recorder on me, I mamish grabbed a pen and the back of an envelope. And it was very hard to hear her, but I mamish wrote out a bracha that she gave the three boys for the bar mitzvah and my niece for her bat mitzvah, Mirtz Hashem B'Shatova. And I will tell you, at my nephew's bar mitzvah, my brother typed up that message, framed it, and put it on the central table. It meant so much. This was her bracha, even though she wasn't there. Rabosai, not as a dramatic and as a morbid type of insight, but this is something, one of the greatest gifts that we can give our children, one of the greatest brachas we can present them with at their bar mitzvah, at their wedding, is to mamish write up, when the child is born, what we were thinking about. To tape at the bris, if it's not on a Shabbos or Yontif, the thoughts. You were named Yaakov for Uncle Jack. Grandpa Jack, let me tell you the mythos of Grandpa Jack that we had in mind that you should, right? Whatever it is, Grandma Rose, these were the mythos that she has. This is what's going to make the child a child, and the child needs to know this. This can be such a gift for the child. So often, you know, when the child is 15 years old and they get to school and they have to do a paper on, you know, why did your parents call you this name? And the parents say, oh, I don't know, you've 9 kids since then, I don't know, your name for Uncle Jack. And what was special about Uncle Jack? I can't remember, he died 30 years ago. Write it down. Give this to your children as a gift, because this is really what determines their life. So now we can appreciate, in the 11, B'lei Datosha Ruvain, Netuna Haita, Leah B'matzav Shal Koshi V'tzara. The time that Leah was born, she was in a very difficult situation. The Keshu Nolad, when she was he was born, Chasha, she felt Shekarish Baruch Hu Ro'eh Bonya. She felt such a connection to Hashem. Mitoch Regesh Zeh Shel Shevach LaHashem Natna LeRuvain Et Shmo. What's Reuven's reality? What does Reuven mean? Ra Hashem Adonai. Don't look at it negatively. Look at it. This is our Karas HaTov. Thank you, Hashem. You saw my affliction. Thank you, Hashem. You saw my pain. Bo Ramuz HaKoach L'ro B'Tovat Hashem Afitzman HaKoshi V'Ainu. You know what she's imparting in Reuven's name? That you'll be able always to have the bracha of seeing the goodness, the silver lining, and the goodness of Hashem, even in times of difficulty. And that will be the koach that he can use. When push comes to shove, he will be able to rise to the occasion. That is his greatness over Esav. That he has the ability to see that all that Hashem does is good. That Hashem is present. That Hashem is close. That Hashem, you can access him. Therefore, Bekriyat Shmo Shel Reuven Hayu Klulim Gam Ha'Odah LaHashem. That this is a name of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, then there's no contradiction between why Chazal understands of the name. There are many levels of understanding. So when a parent names a child, and when Chazal look at the meaning of these names, we understand that there's one level which the mother is saying, as we just saw, and then there are levels that are beneath that. So when we learn that why is he called Reuven, Kirah, Shem, Be'onyi? We have to understand what was the mindset of Leah. This is Hakaras HaTov. This is Reuven's reality. Thank you, Hashem. And I'm embedding in this child the ability to always see that closeness of Hashem. And this is why, my friends, we know that it's so important to name our children with positive names and to give them positive mindsets, positive mitos connected to the name. Mipnei kach 13c, chashivas gdola noda l'kriyat shmos ha'yalodim l'fi regesh shel avodas Hashem. Name a child with a tremendous input of feeling closest to Hashem. Kevan sheregesh yechelik m'ma'utel shel ha'yelet. Because your feelings, your mindset, is going to be such a determining factor in who this child is. I'll just add on this level a beautiful idea brought down to say for Shifte Yisrael 13d, where he brings down from the Pritzadik based on the Arizal, Inyan Kriyat Shmo Hit'orot HaNefesh. When you call somebody a name, it's really their soul. You're stamping the mahus, the essence of this person, and it creates an awakening of the soul. And he brings down, I like this a lot, he says, when a person is sleeping, or a person, you know, in dreamland, like, you know, I don't know if you ever have this, kid's reading a book, please set the table, please set the table, and then you say the kid's name, huh, you're calling me? What is it about the name that can wake them up from their stupor, from this trance-like state? V'lachenu mekitzim en ha'sheinak esher karim oto v'shmo, mipnei shimit'oro bo ha'nefesh chaya shelo. Ad kam l'shono, says the Arizal, because you're awakening in them their life force. Our name is our life force. That's why we're so connected to our name. And that's why we love hearing our name so much, because the name becomes the life force for every single person. And that's what we need to understand, the power inherited in the name. You know, I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to repeat it again. I believe it was Rabbi Weinberger who was saying that he was just beginning teaching. He went to a conference that Rav Pam Zatzal was talking to Mechanchim and asked the Mechanchim, young educators, what's the most beloved word that kids like to hear? So one person said recess, one person said no test, one person said vacation, and Rav Pam smiled and said no. The most beloved word, and this is a word that a Mechanech should use over and over again, and I think about this not only as a parent but as a teacher, is a person's name. Because the name means connection. The name means chiyus. And as parents, we have to be careful what we name our children. Obviously, we have to be careful what nicknames we give our children. And we have to be able to tap into that koach. And as children or as adults, we have to be able to see if our parents are still alive, to ask them, what was your thoughts when you named me? To be able to try to tap into the koach of our name and live up to that aspect. So my friends, what we have seen so far is that for various reasons, Leah Imenu doesn't tell about the deeper reason. She doesn't want to mention that Rachel Imenu is going to have children. She doesn't want to talk about the Mechiras Yosef. And the name Reuven in its own right is Shevach V'Hodiah. It's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a name of Hakaras HaTov. It's a name that expresses gratitude. And it's a name embedding in this child the ability to see Hashem's closeness. It's interesting, just to take this idea one step further, the Ben HaMishpatayim, Rav Reuven Fine, notes that the Targum Yonasan adds here that not only did she say, Hashem sees my affliction, but she immediately asks in the future, Shekla Yisrael Yizku Begalut Mitzrayim Levayar Hashem Etzivotam. Hashem, you saw my affliction, and please see the affliction of the Jewish people in the times of the future, that they will be worthy of Geula, of redemption. Ubemet, dechen yisod lanu chazal, yasdu lanu chazal doshim betfila, deyeshchiyuv hodal lavar bakasha lasud. And this is something fundamental in our tefillah, that anytime we thank, we always have to ask as well. And he explains why. He says, Ubeir adav ahu in the squiggly, shebemet ein adam yadei as a petach v'shar niftachim lo, b'shul levakesh yuchal likanesh v'petach zeh. We never know when the gates of heaven are ever going to be open. Ulam, however, kishepatchu l'adam shar, shezeh hamechayvo lo da'al avar, when the gates are open to accept our gratitude for what happened, that then leaves an opening for us to continue to daven. So once the gate is open, use this gate. The chol ikar atfilah shepetach shiniftach nisher patuach. We want to keep that gate open. And therefore, unlike people, you know, if someone does you a favor, you say, thank you. Oh, by the way, could you? So then by people doesn't, not so nice, but by Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is what he wants. So therefore, when Leah Imenu thanked Hashem that you saw my affliction, now that the gates of heaven are open, she's davening for Klal Yisrael. Hashem should continue to see the affliction of Klal Yisrael when they're down in Egypt. And Rav Pinkas Atzal in Nefesh Chaya, in source number 14, echoes this as well. She says this is why, an explanation of right after Leah Imenu has Yehuda, and she thanks Hashem, the Pasuk says, "Vatamal miledet," she stops from conceiving. And he says, I heard this explained as follows. Since she merely thanked Hashem and did not ask Hashem for more, that is why she ceased to give birth. Together with thanking Hashem, she should have prayed to him to continue giving her blessing. Since she did not pray for this, the flow of blessing ceased. When a person thanks Hashem for the good health that was granted him, he should not stop there. He should ask Hashem that his neighbor, who's not feeling very well right now, should be healthy as well. A person should never be in a state where he says, Hashem, thanks, I'm happy, everything's just fine. One should always be asking and requesting from Hashem. And truth be told, and this is the sources 16 to 18, that one of the major themes that runs through the entire Parshat Vayetze, there are a number of very distinct themes that run through. One of those themes is Tefillah. The Parsha begins, which is source 18, where Vayifka b'makom v'yalad sham, that Yaakov Avinu meets this place, he davens Maariv. The Parsha begins, it opens up with Tefillah, with Maariv. And it ends with Malachi Elohim, he sees the angels of God, he calls the place Machanayim, again, a spiritual connection. The entire Shvatim are, and the entire desire to have Shvatim are based on the Imahos Davening. And hence he notes in the asterisk circle in 16, that's why we call them Arba Imahos. Who knows four of the matriarchs, and not six, even though Bilhah and Zilpah had each of them two children who were part of the 12 tribes, is because they didn't daven, and that their tefillah become, this is one reason, part and parcel of Klal Yisrael. The nature of an Ein B'Yisrael is tefillah. We see throughout our parsha, Vayizkor Elokim et Rachel, Vayizkor Elokim et Leah, that Hashem remembered Rachel and remembered Leah and all their tefillahs. The quality of the imahos, the quality of a Jewish mother. How can a Jewish mother be a mother without davening for her children? From the moment the childbirth begins, really from the moment of pregnancy, you're davening for the child on Mayav Esrim. This is, your whole focus is tefillah. That's why Bilhah and Zilpah, who are not found in that role of tefillah, are not included as the imahos. Okay, with this in mind, we can now take a look at this Rashi. I understand Ruvein has a good name, Ra Hashem Boni. I understand that his name is based on gratefulness, as well as the addition with Sur and Yonasan Ben Uziel, to ask Hashem to continue to see the affliction of the Jewish people. But then we come back to this question, if that name in itself has a beautiful meaning, what is it that Chazal saw? You know, there's really a deeper understanding here. There's really a deeper meaning. How could Chazal add a meaning that's not found in the text? And if it was the correct meaning, look at the difference between my son and Esav, so then why not write it in the Chumash itself? So I'd like to share three approaches to answer this question. There are quite a number. They all have similar answers, but differ a bit. And the bottom line in all three answers is that they're one and the same. That Hashem seeing my affliction and look at the difference between my son and Esav are really the same answer, and Chazal are just giving you a different facet of that answer. Let me explain what I mean. The first approach is based on Eilah HaDvarim. And we'll preface it with a fantastic insight in the Nesivos Chaim. When he says in 19, that, Leah, all over this place, Hashem saw my affliction, and Hashem saw how hated I was. Like, you know, you almost read this and think that Yaakov Avinu hated Leah Imenu, which obviously is not true, right? Obviously. So what does it mean that she felt hated, Hashem heard my voice, etc.? So there are many interpretations, and we'll touch on another one in a few minutes. Amir Hashem, Rav Matlin notes, it wasn't that she was hated by Yaakov Avinu, she was hated by herself. it was a reflection, like almost like we call it projection, where she felt hated because she felt what she did to trick Yaakov was so wrong. And she felt that, how could I have done this? This is her own mindset, that because what she felt was wrong, she projected that on Yaakov, that he must hate her. And this is indeed, this is such a beautiful insight, he said. This is why Kadosh Baruch Hu saw this. Hashem saw that Leah hated herself. She therefore understood her pain and therefore tried to raise her self-image in her own eyes by giving her a child first. What a sensitivity, what depth, what understanding we see of how Karav Hashem L'chol Karav L'chol Sheik Ruba MS. How close Hashem is to us. If we would just internalize some of these ideas when we're going through hardship and challenges, we would feel emotionally how close Hashem is to us. The Ilan Dvarim of Schlesinger takes this idea one step deeper, and he says, what was it that made Leah feel so hated? It wasn't just that she, you know, duped Yaakov Avinu. It was something much, much deeper than that. We know we say in the Haggadah, this is 21a in the second paragraph, say Ulaman Mabikesh Lavan Harami Lasoli Yaakov Avinu. See what Lavan wanted to do to Yaakov. Para only decreed against the male children. Lavan tried to destroy everybody. So in what way did he try to destroy everyone? So the Ashur Kadosh explains in the squiggly, Kikol HaGramal Yiridat Yisrael Mitzrayim. The whole reason we went down to Egypt was because the brothers were jealous of Yosef. And what caused the brothers to be jealous of Yosef? The fact that Yosef wasn't the oldest. Had Yosef been the oldest, so then they wouldn't have been jealous of him. Now, what stopped Yosef from being the oldest? The fact that Lavan gave Leah Imenu instead of Rachel Imenu. Had Rachel Imenu been given first, so then the child being born wouldn't be Reuven, it'd be Yosef, and then all this jealousy would happen, and they wouldn't go down to Egypt. So Leah Imenu felt that she had part of this. Lefiza Shaleah Itashutfa Begolos Mitzrayim. She felt that she was in some way a partner, a shutfa, in this going down to Egypt. So she was walking around feeling hated and guilty that she fed into this plan that Klai Yisrael are going to have to go down to Egypt. And that's why, when she foresaw in the future, and that's, you know, Hashem saw my affliction, Hashem saw the pain that she was in, that she has caused all of this, all these problems. Then, when she had Ruach HaKodesh, and she saw how Reuven's Bechora was going to be given over to Yosef, and the brothers, nevertheless, were jealous of Yosef and hated him, she realized it wasn't only that it wasn't because Yosef was the oldest. Here, Reuven had given over the Bechorah. The Bechorah was given over by Yaakov to Yosef. So here you see Yosef is known to be the oldest, and still they're jealous of him. Ah, it has nothing to do with my son. Therefore, she says, look at my son. My son has proven, in the future she sees that my son has proven that I am vindicated from this, that has nothing to do with me. That my son has shown that he's no longer the Bechor, Yosef is the Bechor, and yet they're still jealous of him, and they still want to save him, that Reuven has to go save Yosef, they still want to sell him. So therefore, she says, the New Salafim said, 22, Shetama Gemara, Huhu Tama Ketubah Taru, Veinu Shnei Tamim. It's not two different answers where Chazal are giving a separate reason on, look at my son, it's different. No, it's the same reason. It's just a deeper understanding of what was the pain of Leah that she was in when the Chumash said, and Hashem saw my affliction. Don't read it. Rashi's explaining to us, don't read it that the name of the child is the affliction that Yaakov had toward Leah. No, it was the affliction that Leah felt herself. And yet, when this child was born, she saw that she had no reason to feel this affliction. And Hashem had shown with such clarity it was not her fault. And now her husband will love her because she has no part in going down to Egypt. So what Rashi is really doing, it's Gevaldik, is really explaining that we shouldn't feel that the name Reuven is a negative name, that Yaakov Avinu hated her, and it's that type of affliction, not at all. Rashi is coming to explain what the name is all about. A second understanding, the Achpri Tvua points out, is that Leah Imenu foresaw again in the future that Reuven was going to move the bet. and that was going to cause Yaakovinu not to have another child. He was supposed to have 13. So Reuven was going to be responsible. But then she saw that, and that's why Yaakov, she felt, was angry at her, because she was going to have a son who was going to mess him up. Right? Because he moved the beds, he took away whatever Hashras Hashchina in conceiving that next child. Again, it's more Kabbalistic for us to understand. So then when she sees that Reuven is going to sell to save Yosef, and Yosef was going to have two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, Keruvah and Shimon Yuli, and they were going to make up the 12th and 13th tribe, that she realized that, again, she's not held responsible. Now her husband will love her, because indeed there will be 13 tribes. Why not mention this in the Chumash? So he says something beautiful. He says in the asterisk, V'nei yadua shedavar shenedabera yidei ruach hakodesh hu mechrach liyo. If she would have articulated what she saw in prophetic vision, it would have to happen. And that would take away the schus, the merit, and the bechira, and the free choice of Reuven. So therefore, she doesn't mention it. She doesn't articulate it, because that would take away all the free choice. Look at my son, that he's able to overcome his personal feelings and save his brother. So therefore, it's not mentioned in the text, but again, it's one and the same reason of what my son will do will enable me almost retroactively that my husband will love me. And the final idea on this is the Zayin Latorah of Saretsky, who points out a whole different way of looking at this. And he says, Kira'a Hashem etonyi, that Hashem saw my affliction. My affliction has nothing to do with Yaakov. Davar says, Hashem saw my affliction with Yaakov, and now my husband will love me. Is about Yaakov. He says, Hashem saw my affliction of when I was supposed to marry Esav. And Hashem saw that I cried over this. And therefore Hashem listened to me and gave me this child. And therefore this child, Reuven, is kol kulo hodaya l'Hashem. Ki kavana b'kriyas Hashem, 24, the asterisk, gam lehodo l'Hashem ashalo nefla l'choko sh'Esav ha'rasha. That I didn't fall into the hands of Esav ha'rasha. And Hashem saw me crying out that I shouldn't fall into his hands. And this, then, she underscores, look who Esav is. Look who I didn't fall into. I fell into the hands of Yaakov Avinu, as we'll see in a moment, who will raise a child who will be able to lose the firstborn and be okay with it. Compared to Esav, by giving the second reason, it's explaining of where Hashem saw her pain. Hashem seeing who I could have married in Esav. And Esav who lost the firstborn and is still chasing after Yaakov. But I didn't have that. My husband will now love me because I am bringing what I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be married to Yaakov and build the Shiftei Ka. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you for the opportunity of not having children who are going to be like Esav. Thank you for having the opportunity to build the Shiftei Ka, the tribes, and being close to Yaakov Avinu. So this, my friends, we understand. And again, this is just a little bit of a taste this year on how to learn Chumash Rashi, how to learn a Pasuk with Rashi, that you just can't read it. You have to really understand it. So we understand, my friends, that the reason why he's called Reuven is that Hashem saw my affliction. It's thanking Hashem that, Hashem, you're so close when a person is in pain, and that's what's being embedded into the name. Hashem saw my affliction is that I could have married Esav, and you have saved me, Hashem. Hashem, you saw my affliction that I was feeling guilty, and you have assuaged my fears. But none of this, Hashem, has seen my affliction has to do that Yaakov Avinu was hated Leah. So when I say, how could a child be named this name, like, you know, Dad hates Mom, God sees how Dad hates Mom, let's call him Reuven. Look at my son, how much he comes from a hated marriage. No, God forbid. Reuven's essence, Reuven's reality, is a reality of closeness to Hashem, of hating evil, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being so close to us, and Hashem responding and helping us have the clarity to be able to see that there's a larger picture in this world. And that's what the name Reuven is all about. What I'd like to do at the end now is to take a look at the name Reuven, not of Ra'a Hashem Adonai, that Hashem sees my affliction. But the name that Chazal understand, the name that's in her mind, in her heart, look at the difference between my son and my brother-in-law's son, and be able to see the depth in that name as well. And that name also creates a roofing reality. The essay that almost all the Baalei Mussar quote is the essay from the Or Yecheskel Rav Chasko Levenstein in Sefer Amidos. And I want to pick out parts of the different Sforim that quote it. We'll start with Ruach Eliyahu, Rav El Yosvei, Tatzal, the Philadelphia Rosh Yeshiva. And he quotes here, Agom Rav Chasko, Mashkiach Tepanevish, Matzbiyur 25, Shekavanah Le'ayta Ladgish V'Lavlita Tavdel Gadol Shven Ruven Mesa. By having this meaning of this name is to emphasize the difference between Ruven and Esav. Kitzer stam hefresh mal of a darga b'neim. It's not stam, a difference in level. Elav del malti ben shnei briot shonot legamre. It's a difference between two creatures. Matavo shal Esav, matzav shal b'nei enosh. Esav, it's like most of us. Kashir nital mimenu davar, o shenaseh midato, ko Esav choser bo, av shenaseh midato, ko Esav choser bo. When something is taken away from them, even if they deserve it, even if they caused it, they get angry. Lumatzot, however, on the other hand, Madrega Tov Shel Ruvain, Kisuga Cher Lagamre Ruvain, it's a whole different story. Madrega Tam Shel Shvatim Shifteka Lamalu Malasainos, and the level of Ruvain is a level we can't even understand. He loses the Bechorah, he loses the Guna, he loses the Malchut, he loses the priesthood, he loses the kingdom, because he did something that was a shame Shemayim. He was trying to stand up for his mother's honor. Nevertheless, he lost it. And he could easily argue, but I did it l'shem Shemayim. I did it for my mother's honor. Ah! He doesn't say a word. He accepts what was happened to him without any negative response. Not only that, when he has a chance to get the first right back, that Joseph is going to be killed, he doesn't, hop that opportunity. He tries to stand up and save Joseph. Where did he get these superhuman ability? Reuven, look at my son. When a child is named Reuven, it's about look at the quality of midos that this child has. This child is able to overcome the natural human tendency and go on the higher road in life. Where did he learn this from? Ruven Hayab Arur 26, Mashariklam, Mimeno Bechorah, Vritan, Yosef, Zelipte, Shekach Gazra, Chachmatoy Bra, because he understood this was Hashem's will. Mikavan Shekach, Lo Alaba, Dato, Lo Arizo, and that's why he wasn't going to question this. Lo Hayalo Filu Shum Tina Belay, there wasn't even in his heart. Ukushlacha Barafita Sepa, Zolotobi, Yetzer Sefi, Yetzeroth, even tried to save him. You know where he learns this from? He learns this from Yaakov Avinu. Again, he quotes here the idea of Rav Chasko in 27. The Torah brings this down as well. Yaakov Avinu works for 7 years, day and night, loves Rachel Imenu so passionately, on the level of love that we're, real love that we're talking about, not love of self, love of other, love of the purpose of building Klal Yisrael, and love on Dupzim. You would expect that the next pasuk is, and we see later in our parsha when Lavan comes running after him and he can't even find a needle, right? Vayicharaf, he gets angry. We know that Yaakovinu gets angry. He gets angry at Rachel, Tachet Elokim Ani, right? He gets angry. We know Yaakovinu gets angry. But in this case, when he is duped, what does he say? He says, Vayomer, Mazal Tasitali, what did you do? Hello, Berachel, Avarati, Mach, V'lamari, Tani. Why did you trick me? Not Vayicharaf, Vayomer. He asked, could you explain it to me? I worked for 7 years, and I didn't quite get what I wanted. Do you know what most of us, the Baalei Mussar, say would happen to us if we worked for something for 7 years and someone gave us not only a product, a wife different than we expected? We would have shouting and things being thrown around. I mean, you can imagine. Vayomer, could you explain this to me? And he works for the next 7 years with the same faithfulness as the first 7 years. This is somebody who we understand. Zo Aleinu Ladat, Rav Chasko himself in 28, Shemechavato Shel Ben Torah Lavin, Shatara Tovav, Benoten Ladam Dvarim, Shem Zebat Saben Adam, Alarak Borei Olam, Yachol Itaim, Vulitbo Mitzot. Obviously, the Torah is divine. that human beings, it's hard to demand this. But the Torah knows our capability. And the Torah knows that we can reach this height. And that's another theme that runs through this entire parsha. Hashem is running the show. It's not about us. And you see this at the end of the parsha in source 30, back to Ruach Eliyahu. When Lavan asked him at the end of the parsha, what would you like to be your reward? Ma ten lach, ana lo Yaakov, lo titen li muma. Don't give me anything. And then the pasuk then says, im tase li hadavar zeh, ashuva eretz tzodcha, kol ma shechum bekvasim, v'talu, v'nekod, bayusim, etc. Vayaschari. Oh, go to the sheep, the spotted, the speckled. He just said he doesn't want anything. Explains it's for no in the asterisk, lo titen li muma, don't you give me anything. Shimakel yitbarach, yitain. If Hashem gives me chayin ba'adi, lo yamit etemuchan lecha. If Hashem finds favor in my eyes, I'll get whatever I deserve. It's not you who's giving this to me. Know that everything you have comes from Hashem. And Lavan misses the boat. Lavan, later in the parasha, you know, realizes that everything is, you know, from Hashem, and then says, you know, this is all I've given you, and this is all about me. Are we able to step out and not realize it's about us? And the answer is, it all depends on our mindset. 31, in asterisk, Kashir Adam Osel Lanu Ra, when someone does bad to us, Anusfarim Shehuzeh Shasat Ra, we think they're the ones who did it. L'chein Anu Mitarim L'chos Alav, and that's why we get angry at them. L'snotam, we hate them. Rulaf Limkovo, to take revenge. Avozoi Saklut Shalom HaSheker, that's looking at the world of falsehood. Ha'emes Hisha Kol Talui B'Kod Shebrichu, everything's dependent on Hashem. V'akoba Mimenu V'ashkachato, everything happens with His divine orchestration. Adam Eino Yachol Ingo B'mash Mucham L'chaveira Afilu K'mlo Neima, we can't touch something that belongs to our friends in Iota. We have to realize that Hashem runs everything. Rabbi Friend, and listen to your messages, echoes this so beautifully. He says in 34, faith in Hashem has to be one of the constant themes of our homes. It has to be discussed often at our kitchen tables and our dining room tables. Our children have to hear from us constantly that there's a Father in heaven who takes care of us. When we suffer setbacks, be they personal, financial, medical, or any other trials and tribulations that make up the fabric of life, our children should constantly hear from us. Listen, Hashem has helped us until now and He'll continue to help us in the future. Hashem has to be a reality in our lives. Our children must hear from us that Hashem has a role for us and a place for each and every one of us. A businessman once came running to Rav Meir Pershalamna. Rebbe, help me. Someone is opening a business like mine right down the street from me. What's going to be? Ein gewalt, I'm going to lose all my business. Calm down, my friend, said the Rebbe. Tell me, have you ever noticed, listen to this, that before a horse drinks from a pond or a river, he always stamps on the ground first? Do you know why? Because when the horse sees his reflection in the pond, he thinks there's another horse there, so he tries to chase him away. Don't worry about this other business. The threat to you is just a figment of your imagination. This is the bottom line. Hashem put us here. He gave each and every one of us a peckle to guide us through life, to find the fulfillment from which you're destined. It's a matter of faith. We say every morning, the bracha of Sha'asali called Tzarki. Hashem has prepared us for me all my needs, the asterisk in 36. Let us think deeply about these words. Let us realize that Hashem has indeed given us everything we need. There's no reason to be jealous or anything else. There's no reason to get angry. Rabosai, this is the depth of Reuven's name. Not only Kira'a Hashem Etonyi, Bonyi, that Hashem saw my affliction, and that Hashem is so close to me, like the Be'er Lechairoi, it's much deeper than that. Reuven. Reuven means look at my son. Look at the midos that my son has. He lost the Bechora for something he did, L'shem Shamayim, and he doesn't complain. And not only that, superhuman, he goes and saves his adversary. Reuven, look at how Shem is running the world. Look at my son who has the ability to internalize this idea that every step of the way is all from Hashem. Wow, what a powerful name. What a powerful reality of what Reuven's name is all about. My friends, I'd like to end with one final idea. Reuven's name, Reu, look at my son, look at the difference between my son and Esav on a whole different level. Rav Pinchas Zal and Tiferet Shimshon. Wilfred's a fascinating insight. He says in 37, when we see these children, we almost think to ourselves, Le'emenu, Heitachin Katavarza, Le'emenu Cheshevakol, Smarakal Sma, all Le'emenu could think about is herself. She's thinking the Shifteka, these are the holiest children to ever be born. And she's thinking about, oh, my husband's going to love me. Oh, Hashem's going to come near to me. It's all about her. I mean, how could that be? Kitznav Zelo Cheshvala, Yelet, why didn't she think about the child? Hine Levi, Amud Havoda, Levi, who's going to be the pillar of service. And so my husband will come closer to me. So he says in the dot, Be'er Ha'inya Nirekach, the end of 37, we find Be'eliezer Evan Avraham. When he says, Hakren Nalafanai Hayom, I'd like you to have it happen in front of me today. And when he tells the story to Betuel Lavan, he says it, Ani Terem Achala L'daber Libi. And I, when I was finishing talking to myself, Lomar, which really means I was speaking to myself, talking in my heart. 38. Lemihu diber, lat small Hashemik barav. Was he talking to himself? Obviously not. He's talking to Hashem. Hakren alufanai ayom. Hatzeirutzu sur levavi v'chalki alokim leolam. Eitzal tzadikim kivyachol neuchiyot haishit shelahem haitaritzon Hashemik barav. The I by a tzadik is the will of God. When we're talking about I by Le'eh Menu, it's not about her personally. It's about what is the Ritzon of Hashem. And he says this is so hard for us to understand this because we are so far away from this Madrega. The great Tzaddikim were able to step outside of themselves and see what is Ritzon Hashem. We are so caught up in self that we can't see it. The tzaddikim, all they wanted to do was bring nachat ruach to Hashem. They were the merkava, they were the chariot of God. By us, it's about me. I want this, I want that. Rav Volpe says this in his Inyan on Kavod. Try for 15 minutes a day not to use the word I. Good luck. It's all about me. And therefore, when she's naming these children, Kol shifot shelahem, kol agreshim, shekol acha mehem, l'man u'shem manu chay, l'shem ma'u chal, v'l'shem ma'u yashem, kulam hayu l'man Hashem yitbarach, sheshochem etocho. It was all about the Ratzon of Hashem, the will of God. And therefore, when she's naming these children, it's a much deeper name than, now Hashem has seen my affliction. I'm not quite sure what Rav Pinkus means by this, but I'm going to make one suggestion. And it just shows us the depth, the complexity, and the brilliance of understanding things from more than one angle. The Be'er Moshe, the Usher Rav Rebbe, notes the following. He says in 39, V'chirak zeh havdel ben Ruvain l'Esav, right? See the difference between Ruvain and Esav. Ruvain is ready to give over the firstborn without a problem, but Esav is trying to kill him. That's the only difference. I mean, what's the difference between them? Like, what's the difference between black and white? Like, you know, you can go on for a long time. And he says, Gam kan yesh kavanah l'daros v'huli v'mash amru. This is based on my friends, v'alokim yivakesh et hanirdaf. Hashem always takes the side of the underdog. Hashem is always there for those who are the ones who are chased. Yaakov nirdaf b'pnei Esav u'bachar kosh baruch b'yaakov. Ki Yaakov bachar lo kai Yisrael skulato. So Rashi there explains, because Yaakov was chased by Esav, Hashem chose him. Hashem loves us because we are the ones who are the most pursued. And that's for sure, my friends. Jewish history has, without a doubt, shown that we are the most pursued nation of any nation. And Hashem loves us because we are the underdog. Even more than that, afilu tzadik rodei frasha alokim yivakesh et hanirdaf. Even if a tzadik should chase a wicked person, Hashem will still be on the side of the Rasha. Therefore, v'lachein Leah shomarita ayin afshalomar shaita nirdafet. Leah, you may know who seems to be like the one who is being chased here, the underdog. Hushvita atzma la'am Yisrael. She compared herself to Am Yisrael b'vakasha, that Hashem should see ba'oni imo hanirdaf ayidei Esav. Just like I am feeling like I am the one who is the underdog compared to Rachel. I don't want you, Hashem, Rai Hashem Boni, I don't want you to focus in on my pain. I want you to take the concept of the underdog and connect it with Kleisrael and Esav, and that's what it means. V'yatsilu b'yadoav she'eino, even if we're not worthy. Ra'ui mitzad masav achim nirdafim. This is pshat here. She's saying, look at the difference between, see that Yaakov Avinu sold the first, well, Esav sold the first rights, and yet was chasing Yaakov. I want you to look, Hashem, at what it means to be chased. Take that imagery. Not focusing on Reuven giving over the Bechorah to Yosef. Focus in on the first part. Look at the difference. Esav has been chasing Yaakov this whole time. And I want you, just like I'm feeling like the underdog, I want you to feel the pain of Klal Yisrael, the underdog. V'atayi avadi ishi, now my husband will love me, not me. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu will love Klal Yisrael. V'ayah b'yom ahu pasuk noshei abeis yurcheh, num Hashem tikri ishi v'lo tikri or bali, we'll call Hashem our husband, not our master. V'alkach yitpalala leah shekneset Yisrael, this is what Leah Imenu is davening for in the bracket. She should be worthy, l'kiruv Hashem Yisbarach, l'Hashem should come close. B'vchinat ishi v'istira dvareha, kilu mitkaven l'atma. She's hiding. It's not about herself. It's as what Rav Pinkus was saying. She's speaking in the Ritzon of the Borei, the Merkava. She's talking about that the perfect marriage between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. Please, Hashem, take care of your spouse. Take care of Klal Yisrael. Love them. And that, my friends, is what it means on a deeper level, the bracha we say of Gal Yisrael, Re'ei Nava, Anyenu V'Riva V'Rivenu, Hashem, look at our afflictions and fight our fights, which is Mechavenet, it's dealing with Geula Matzaros HaBaleinu Tamid, of all the troubles that come upon us. Achim Kolzo Romezet Higam L'Geula Etita, it's also about our final exile. And that's the end of the bracha. Kikel Goel Chazakata, you are a strong redeemer. Haina, which means Machar Shem Nir Dafim, because we, not only on the individual level, on the global level, because we are being chased. Hashem, be able to fight our fight, be able to give us strength. Kira'a Hashem Bonyi, Re'eina Bonyenu. That's what she's saying. That's what the name Reuven means. Hashem, see my affliction. Veriva Rivenu. Shenizke la'ava gluyam Hashem Yitbarach. Bivchina ki'ataya vani ishi. And now, Hashem, because we're the underdogs, because Esav's been, you know, halacha, you do with Esav, son of Yaakov, because we've been chased all these years. Hashem, look at us. Look at Reuven. Look at how we are so different from Esav. Focus on how Esav has been chasing us. And take up our cause. And show us this love. And this is what she's saying. Hashem, look at Esav. He gave up the firstborn. He had no desire for it. All you have, Hashem, is Yaakov. Esav has seen a schina for us. Re'u ma ben b'ni l'ven chami is pointing out kivyachol to Hashem. You're going to give him the upper hand? Look what he's done. Look how he's hated us. But rather, look at Klal Yisrael, even if we're not deserving. Re'u ven. Re'ei na v'anyenu. Re'o re'iti et ani ami. Look at our pain. Look at our challenges. Look at our difficulty. And in that schus, be able, ki ataya vani ishi, that Hashem shall love us, Hashem shall come close to us. So according to this, the name Reuven is really about Klal Yisrael, Lei Meinu's request that Klal Yisrael should on the personal level and on the national level be redeemed from our challenges in the schus of being the underdog, in the schus of Esav running after us, that Hashem should love us, Hashem should connect to us, Hashem should find favor in us, whether we're deserving or not. And we'll conclude in the minute that we have in Grow Through Torah, Rabbi Pliskin, one of the ways to be able to bring down this tremendous love is to be able to learn from the names of these children. That we see how Hashem is sensitive to the plight of Leah, sensitive to the plight of Klal Yisrael. Hashem hears their pain. Hashem sees the pain. When we see the pain of others, when we hear the pain of others, the more perceptive you become, the more you will notice slight nuances in tone of voice that reflect painful feelings. The more we are aware of this, the more we are going to help others, the more we bring down a shefa that Hashem will help us. Reuven, when we look at Hashem's children, and we are able to see the affliction that they are in, when we are able to see the pain that really Reuven are all of Hashem's children, when we are able to do that, then Kiataya Vani Ishi, then our husband will love me. We bring down a Shefa Bracha, a tremendous amount of love from Hashem as a reward. May we all be able to learn from Reuven's reality how close Hashem is to us, how much Hashem loves us, how much Hashem takes care of us, how careful we have to be in our midos, recognizing Hashem's intimate involvement in our lives. And Re'ina Vanyenu, that when we daven, that Hashem should see our affliction, to know that Hashem is listening and will respond not only to our personal afflictions for the good, but Yiratzon to bring the Geula Shleima B'mehera B'Yameinu. Amen.